Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com and Outkick 360 as well, which you can check out every day from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. PK, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm well, guys. Good morning. How are you?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, well, I guess we'll start with this. Joe just went on a rant about your Twitter takes of people tweeting from not being at the game. Joe, would you like to explain what you've just laid out there and give PK the opportunity to respond?
Well, I just want PK to give me the specific exact rules. There's going to be some road games I'm going to be missing this year. I want to know how many tweets I'm allowed to tweet. I want to know, do I need to put, right now I'm – you know, wherever. I'm coming back from Baton Rouge, you know. I'm not in Washington. Wow, what a run by Derrick Henry. You let me know. What are the rules, Paul?
I'm very pleased that this has provided you content. But
good.
It's incredibly simple. Don't act like you're somewhere that you're not.
What does that mean?
The Titans press corps do. They act like they're at the game when they're not at the game. So don't do that.
Okay. Wow! You're not explaining it. What do you? How are you acting like you're somewhere? If you tweet about something that you know that you're watching on television, and you just tweet an observation about it, that's acting like you're there.
Well, here's what I do, Joe, to make it clear. Because I don't know about you. I like the people who follow me to have a clear understanding of what's going on and what's not going on and what PaulKuharski.com is spending money on and what it's not spending money on. Out of respect, first off, my own transparency, and secondly, out of respect to my colleagues whose outlets may or may not be spending money for them to be there, which I think is a big deal in this day and age. And so, before a game that I'm not at, and let me make clear, I'm at all the games. The only games I don't go to are meaningless preseason games. So I wasn't in Baltimore. But I'll be at everything going forward, so this won't be an issue for me. But before the Baltimore game, I tweeted very clearly, I am not in Baltimore. For reports from Baltimore, here are people who are actually in Baltimore. I know you could never do this because The Athletic would never allow you to point to somebody else's work. I have this freedom.
That's not true at all. That's there's zero truth in that. Not at all true.
Jim Wyatt is in Baltimore. Buck is in Baltimore. Whoever else is in Baltimore. But I am completely offended when I spend money to travel somewhere else and I look at the Twitter chain and people are tweeting as if they're sitting next to me because I find it intellectually dishonest.
First of all, your tweet, that's totally fine. That's great. I think it's good to be transparent up front, and that's not true that The Athletic would care at all about something like that. But here's where my issue. Okay, pretending. So in other words, if you just make an observation about a play, that's like if you say, man, from this view, that really looked like a catch to me, but I don't know. I mean, I'm close to the sideline, but I'm not sure it's very close. Like that's pretending. You know, making an observation, just tweeting a random observation about something that, frankly, anybody who would care is watching, right, on television, I don't see how that's pretending to be there.
Yeah, that's fair. But first off, there's far too much in-game tweeting going on from everybody.
We can agree with
they're
that.
They're all watching the game, and they know what's going on. The reason that you tweet is because you might have an angle that people who aren't watching TV sees. You might see a guy getting going to the locker room. You might hear something in the press box. To me, that's the reason to tweet in-game. I don't tweet play-by-play, nor should anybody. And people who tweet play-by-play should be handcuffed and escorted off the premises.
Except they're not at the premises. They're lying and pretending to be there.
Yeah, so you shouldn't have that much to say off the TV broadcast because everybody else is watching it too. So I'll give you an example. I'll tout myself. I watched that game on Thursday night. I said I'm not going to be saying much. And then I have this thing where I punish myself in the preseason, and I try to see everybody who's on special teams, which is an impossible task. Could you pause your TV? Half the numbers are facing you. Half of them you can't see. You rewind it four times. You end up with nine guys on a unit. You can't find the other two. But I thought it was interesting that Caleb Farley was on two special teams units. Now, nobody at that game is paying any attention to who's on the special teams units or making particular note, I don't think, of what Caleb Farley's doing or not. So one of my three tweets during that game was, interesting note, Caleb Farley is on kickoff coverage and punt return tonight for two snaps, which is unusual for a guy of his stature. That's something that I don't think was coming out of the press box in Baltimore that came out of a particularly close TV watching after I made clear that I was not there. This comes, Joe, frankly, out of spending, I don't know, $6,000 to go to London and listening to the local AP reporter or watching the local AP reporter tweet as if he or she was sitting next to me in London, which pissed me off because it took a lot to gather $6,000 for PaulKuharsky.com, an independent site, to get his ass to London.
It's okay, so you're calling out Teresa. Why? You just said he or she. Are you talking about Teresa?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
The local AP
politely,
reporter, he or she, also known as Teresa Walker.
Now you're going to turn it into a thing. Now I'm going to have to go out there and listen to her for 10 minutes.
This is good. Okay, we're getting. I think that we need to get all the issues out in the open before the season starts.
Well, maybe so. PK,
go ahead.
By the way, this has been covered like 3 years ago. I don't know where you've been. When did the Titans go to London? Like pre-pandemic. So it's good that you're catching up.
It was 4 years ago, actually.
PK, to that point.
I just need the rules.
Speaking of going out there, day one of Titans and Bucks today. What's the number one thing you're watching for as the Bucks come in with, albeit a very depleted offense with no Brady and no Evans and a very limited Godwin? What are you looking for today?
Yeah, I'm trying to find something to get particularly fired up for. I don't know if Joe feels the same way, that the wind is out of the sail with no Brady. I would expect the defensive backs to do well against a secondary with Evans not out there and Gage not out there and Godwin likely limited. I'm curious to contrast it with last year where the Titans hardly put anybody on the field down in Tampa. I don't know if Joe was there or just pretending to be there.
I actually unfortunately did cover that game. Oh. But I came later.
Not the game, the practices.
Yeah, no. And I also but I tweeted a few times my observations.
Of the practices.
Yeah, from your videos, yeah. And I pretended I was there. Yeah, it worked out well for me.
Good.
Got a lot of clicks.
As a one-man band, and Joe goes through this too, you got to pick, like, are you watching the offense or are you watching the defense? And I'm just going to go on whatever vibe I'm feeling at the moment. And I would think that the Titans' defense should do well against these two quarterbacks, quite frankly. And I think it's, put up or shut up time for Dylan Raidens, which is big. This is Joe Tryon Shoyinka is a guy that put Raidens in the rotation for a left guard backup last year instead of a right tackle starter. So that'll be a interesting matchup and what he can do in these 2 days.
So on that front, Raidens, Petit Frere, your impressions at this point of that competition, where do you think it's going?
Well, Raidens bounced back in to get some starting snaps in the days after that first game. So read into that as you will. I was of the camp, I'm curious if you are, Joe, that him not playing much in that opener was more a let's get a really solid look at NPF as opposed to Raidens is fine and we don't need to see anything. And then Kevin Carter, the offensive line coach, said on Monday, We've got a really good, or he's got a really good sense of what he needs to do in pass protection to take the next step. So I think it's very clear that they think both of these guys can run block just fine and that their issues are in pass protection. And, you know, it just feels like a ticking clock. I know it's only year two, but, you know, where's the big stride and the light bulb moment for him? I don't know. But I think these four joint practices over the next 2 weeks with the Bucs and the Cardinals are maybe as big for him as for anyone.
Paul Kaharsky on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. PK, are you buying into Racing McMath becoming a legitimate receiving threat for this team?
Well, if you watched their last practice, Racing McMath was a mess. You know, had three deep chances where he got turned around and couldn't find the ball, and got tied up with the defender, and he's gotten a lot better. You know, and I think he'll be in a rotation. But this idea, you know, we never let go of this idea that, like, well, if the Titans have a deep guy with some speed, it'll back people off Derrick Henry. Nothing backs people off Derrick Henry. I do think that the guy that McMath can take things away from is Treylon Burks. And so if you're really pulling for Racy McMath, that's going to allow the Titans to take things off Treylon Burks' plate probably and allow them to slow play another rookie and another high pick. So I'm kind of torn on that. He's been a lot better, but, you know, I'll go back to, you know, Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers, who looked great at this stage last year, and it didn't really translate into a whole lot. So you're going to need to see it more in games. And by the way, you know, that Malik Willis to Racy McMath pass in the game, you would have thought, you know, it was the catch. He leaves his feet unnecessarily. The throw didn't lead him upfield. It should have been a bigger play than it was. So, I mean, last year he would have played it even worse, so that's progress. But there's still progress to be made.
Yeah, well, on the Burks-McMath, I think right now McMath would get more reps in a game if they played today than Burks.
Yeah, now, probably right.
I'm not saying that's going to be the case in a few weeks, but I mean, McMath was an afterthought for me, so I guess maybe it's also relative to expectations. I actually think he's going to help them some this year, but to your point, he's got to keep stacking those days. Well, you mentioned Willis, and very predictably, the day after that game, that preseason game, it was basically like a show about the backup quarterback situation and just a lot of people running with a handful of, you know, intriguing plays by Willis and ignoring that, you know, he's just missing things that you can't miss at that position. But just from start to finish, how much growth do you think you've seen in him? Do you have any sort of different feeling for where it could lead, understanding that we don't know?
Well, they're still talking about, you know, and understandably so, you know, huddle mechanics and, you know, his arm catching up to his feet or eyes and stuff like that. And people are making the jump to him being the backup quarterback. I mean, he made three plays in that game, one to a wide open receiver, a nice sidearm flip to get that ball to Tommy Hudson in the face of pressure, and the reverse run for the touchdown, which is, you know, if you can't do that, based on his resume from Liberty, you know, there's no reason to have him. That's exactly the kind of play you would expect him to make. He wouldn't throw the ball. They took him out of the game in the middle of a series because he was reluctant to throw the ball. I understand it's his first game, and, you know, he's got a long way to go. But I got to have a quarterback that if the coach is telling him, let it rip, and clearly not that worried about a turnover in the passing game, and he still won't throw the ball, that is a long, long way away. Now, it didn't help that Woodside was terrible, and that Godwin, you know, botched that one route to help him be terrible. But if you're playing in the fourth quarter and you've got a first-round receiver with you in one-on-one coverage and you can't give him a good 50-50 ball to go up and get, you're blowing your opportunity. He's been better in the preseason than most people think overall. I'm kind of sick of hearing about his command, though. You might have command of the offense, but if you've got limited physical gifts to go with it, how much does it mean? But the idea that this guy, you know, is going to just slide in, Willis, just slide in and replace Tannehill if something goes wrong at this stage is just dreaming for fans, I think.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com and Outkick360, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. PK, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us and have fun out there today.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Paul Kuharsky, our guest, joins us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025 on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. React to PK coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Join 102.5 The Game and myself at the 9th Annual Williamson County Battle of the Badges Blood Drive today from noon to 2 p.m. The Red Cross is in an urgent need of blood. Every 2 seconds, someone needs blood. So join us, Brentwood Fire and Police, the Williamson County Sheriff's Office, and the Fraternal Order of Police for the 9th Annual Williamson County Battle of the Badges Blood Drive today, going on until 6 p.m. at the Brentwood Concord Road Library. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Thanks to Paul Kuharsky for joining us in the last segment. Rex Road is smiling because he continues to stir things up with PK.
Well, maybe we'll have a little. Maybe there won't just be the Bucks and the Titans getting after each other today out there on the field. I'd love to. Sorry that the website's down because I'd love to see some of the texts from people on all this stuff.
Joe loves the drama. Look
well,
at you.
Hey, look, I don't love the drama. That's not true.
Robbie, weigh in.
I mean, I think this is an interesting discussion, and I don't know. You tell me. Am I overreacting to his overreaction, or is he just overreacting?
Well, he has a tendency to overreact sometimes.
Yeah,
that's why we love.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's not worth getting all upset about. I just to me, if you're pretending to be somewhere, I agree. Then if you're actually like tweeting things that make it seem like you're somewhere, well, then don't do that.
Yeah.
Of course. And don't play-by-play tweet anyway. Now, I think we can all agree on that.
We need a petition going.
Like,
yeah.
Like, tweet, even if you cover a team, tweet like in a football game, tweet like, what's a good number? 8 times? Is that, I promise you, there are people.
Make them important.
There are people who tweet, I bet you.
Hundreds.
Hundreds, yeah.
That's a lot. I was going to say like 50 times.
Oh, there's more than that.
If you tweet hundreds of times during like a football game you're covering,
you're not doing anything else.
It's
going
to
get
worthless.
Arthritis in those fingers. Yeah.
If I can't, like if there's a game that I want to see, or you know, if I have a team that I want to follow and I can't see it or whatever, then I'm probably like, well, I mean, it's hard to do the whole like I'm going to record it and watch it later thing.
Yeah,
but I don't think I'm going to sit there and follow obsessively on Twitter, right?
How about this? Next time you cover, are you going to the game Saturday? We will count your tweets.
Yes.
We will count your tweets, okay?
Saturday. Yeah, I mean, there might be 3.
Joe will have play-by-play in the press conference.
I mean, but if someone gets hurt, so there's where your value is, okay? Someone gets hurt and the broadcast goes to commercial. I know there's Titans fans. Okay. Now, there may be 3 in a row. Okay, now on the bike. Now going in the locker room, right? So, situationally, it makes sense. But, yeah. Julius Chestnut, really nice 9-yard run. Been really
had
good
a burst
in these
of speed
preseason
on that one.
Games. Yeah.
See, I don't even mind that every now and then. It's the literal Henry 3 yards, like if there's, second and seven.
Yeah, if there's no analysis to go with it.
Henry,
if there's no,
stuffed, second 11.
No commentary, right, yeah.
Okay.
Right, like if it's like, oh, the Titans
you
ran
find
on.
That on the ESPN app, what's going on with the game, thanks.
Yeah, like a sarcastic, wow, the Titans ran again on second and nine.
Sure.
Or something like that, but if it's just like Derrick Henry 1 yard, left side, yeah.
Hopefully there's less of that this year.
Yeah, and hopefully, maybe, who knows, maybe today will be interesting out there at camp.
Maybe so.
I don't love drama.
So what did you make of what PK said about Racy McMath and the potential role and what that could mean for Treylon Burks as they move forward?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm with him. And I guess I don't look at it like, here's the guy who's going to stop teams from stacking the box. I agree. Like, if Derrick Henry is going to be Derrick Henry this year, then defenses are going to act accordingly. But can you make some plays downfield? And
that's
at least,
thing.
Yeah, at least here and there, make a safety think about it, you know? And I think that he can. I think that he has that potential. And it's just too much time, like, consecutively now where – while PK is right that he didn't have the great day the other day, that's still that day was a day of opportunity that he has earned. He's earned a lot of it. So we'll see. It's a big week for him too. And I think that the hope is, yes, that Treylon Burks eventually sort of has a bigger role than him. But right now, McMath is, to me, the surprise of camp on the offensive side of the ball. And it's not a bad thing for Treylon Burks to have another big, fast guy who's been in the league an extra year, who's pushing him and making him earn his opportunities.
What's your percentage chance at the moment that Dylan Radins is not the week one starter at right tackle?
Percentage chance that he's not. I think
be that Nicholas Petit Frere or otherwise.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be otherwise. I think it's about 70-30. So I'd say 30% chance he's not. I still think he's likely starting week one. I also, I've said this, you know, I think Petit Frere at some point takes that. Now, maybe the Titans are like, you know what? There has to be continuity this year. So if it's trending toward Petit Frere is eventually just going to be better than him, maybe it's time to just say, Dylan, you're a left guard again. Or, you know, well, I mean, Dylan, you're the swing tackle. That's the thing.
Yep.
I mean, if they move him inside, as PK just suggested, so then who's your swing tackle? I mean, you got to have a swing tackle.
Jamarco Jones.
I guess. And he's been working only inside.
Yeah.
So it's probably the loser of that competition is the third tackle who can bounce around when someone gets hurt. But I still think it's more likely than not that Raiden starts the opener. I just don't know how long he'll hold on to it.
Well, the choice is yours coming up at 8:45. John McClain, legendary NFL Hall of Fame writer, coming up at 9:05. As well. So looking forward to all that. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans, welcoming your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are your racing station. 1025, 1063 The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for Go Bowling at the Glen. Also join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for racing weekend. NASCAR on 1025, 1063 The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So I do want to mention something real quick before we get back into the Titans. We're getting a lot of questions out there about our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Are we coming back? The answer is yes. We will be back for the second installment of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League this year. We will have more details on that coming out next week. But I can tell you this, we will have 8 available spots out there. So we will be back for year 2 of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. And hopefully someone, whether it's you two or somebody else, can make it competitive because, quite frankly, I destroyed y'all last year.
God, that's right.
Even though Robbie's only loss was to me. That's my comeback. Robbie's like, I won. You lost to me.
Your only loss the entire season was that one.
I lost the last week of – I lost twice.
Okay.
I don't remember who that one was.
Remind me who was on your team last year.
Rodgers was on the team. Jamar Chase was on the team. Mm-hmm. A.J. Dillon was on the team.
Wow.
Stephon Diggs was on the team.
Okay.
I don't know how y'all let me draft all these people, but I did.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't feel like your team. I didn't leave the draft thinking, wow, Robbie really cleaned up. But
I did.
But apparently you did.
Robbie was just sitting there quietly smiling, like hee-hee-hee.
So we'll have more information on that coming out next week. But, yes, there will be a Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League Season 2 of the Fantasy Football League.
Let's go.
So looking forward to that.
8 spots. And we're going to – and the draft will be, we don't have specific details, but it'll be shortly before like the opener. What is the season opener again, that Thursday night?
It is September the 8th. Bills and Rams.
Bills, Rams. Yeah,
so the Bills' pursuit of 17-0 begins
that
night against the defending Super Bowl champions.
That's a great opener.
It really is.
So it'll be that week, we can tell you that.
Correct.
And then, yeah, we'll have all the stuff. So
it's always
ready.
Good to wait. Maybe not as long as possible, but relatively late in the process before you have your fantasy football draft. I know some people
I think so.
That have their fantasy football draft like next week in the preseason. I'm like, what are y'all doing?
Oh, well.
Like somebody can get hurt in the next 2 weeks.
There's some that have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like,
I don't get it.
Yeah. I'd rather you have as much information as possible before jumping in on that.
So we will have more information on that coming up next week. So day one of Titans and Bucks coming up today. We've talked about the right tackle spot. We've talked about the wide receivers out there. How much do you think we can learn about these young DBs today? McCrary coming back in there. Obviously, Caleb Farley's been available the whole time. Christian Fulton, I think, up and down camp, maybe a fair way to describe him. It's a very limited receiving group that you're going to be going up against today with Julio Jones and company in Tampa Bay. So with that in mind, how much do you think we really learn about this Titans defensive group this week?
Well, you know, the thing, it's funny with Fulton too, because the expectations are at a certain level. And like with Farley, they're just like, can he get out there?
Right.
So relative to expectations, I'd say it's better camp for Farley than Fulton. I'm not, but just watch him. I'm not, I wouldn't necessarily say like, you know, Farley's a better corner than Fulton. And I think based on last season, I definitely wouldn't say that yet. But I think we've learned a fair amount about Farley McCreary. I think that it's just good work, and it's and in particular those two not rookies, but the rookie McCreary and Farley, seeing if they can hold up against different kind of matchups. It's unfortunate they're not going to get the greatest matchups. You know, they're basically, it's like everybody probably wants to call get Julio Jones out there and try to cover him. And as anybody around here knows, it's not like that was exactly the world's best receiver a year ago. I mean, it sounds like he's healthy now, so he's probably running well, so that's a decent look. Godwin in 7-on-7, there's a good look if he does participate. But it's, you know, it's just different receivers. I mean, Scotty Miller is kind of like, you know, that's what Titans want Kyle Phillips to be.
I've seen Scotty Miller torch some people before,
including
maybe a certain person named Kevin King forgetting that he exists before the half of a NFC North or NFC Championship game.
Yeah, sorry for bringing that up. Yeah,
appreciate that.
Boy, that was the play too, wasn't it?
Sure was.
Yep. So he's a good look for sure. Those quick little slot receivers in there. So I mean, I don't know how much we're gonna learn, but if there's a particularly good or bad day from anybody, then that means something.
I'm really interested to see. The more I think about it, like everybody's talking about the offensive line and Raidens and Brewer and how they're going to hold up and all that, and that's all great. The more I think about it, the more I'm interested to see how Bud Dupree and Harold Landry do against these two tackles. Like, the offensive line for Tampa Bay is a bit of a question mark heading in this year, especially now that Jensen's gone down. But those two tackles are pretty good. Like, this could be a pretty good test for Landry and Dupree today. And, you know, we talked a lot about that group yesterday in terms of do they have what it takes to be an elite pass rushing group. Well, as Greg Aubin pointed out yesterday, you're taking on the team that gave up the fewest amount of sacks in the entire National Football League last year this week in practice. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be the case this year. And quite frankly, I think a lot of that's got to do with Tom Brady being your quarterback and being able to get rid of the ball. But this is a pretty good offensive line in terms of the tackles that your outside linebackers are going to be taking on today.
Yeah, for sure. Smith, worse. You know, from the Bucks perspective, of course, losing Ryan Jensen, that's a big hit. I guess they'll probably look at it like, well, Hainsey, here's Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, have fun with that.
How you doing there? But, yeah, I agree. Like Bud Dupree, I feel like he's looked pretty explosive to me. You know, he's looked good out there. Obviously, he's not getting a snap in a preseason game, and they're just, you know, no one's taking quarterbacks to the ground, and they won't again today. But going against those tackles, from when those guys have been rushing Landry and Dupree, especially when, and both of them have been at times going against right tackle, you're looking at it more from the perspective of pass blocking. You know, how's Raidens look? How's Petit Frere look? But, you know, today, you know that they're going against good tackles. I mean, Wirfs is a really good right tackle, without question. So, and that's more often that's Dupree's side with Landry on the other side, but sometimes they switch it up. So, good look for them, and certainly on the other side, great look, I think, for the Titans' offense. Because that defense, if Akeem Hicks is like Akeem Hicks this year, that's a salty defense that Tampa Bay has.
So how much action do for fans who obviously can't be there when these practices are going on, how much action do the ones get in this? Because obviously the game itself, you would figure, certainly for Tampa Bay, there's not going to be many action from the ones. I wouldn't imagine from the Titans it's going to change all that much from what we saw in Baltimore last week. So how much action do the ones actually get in these joint practice settings?
See, this is one of those things where I'm trying to remember if it's always full pads both days. I think it is. I mean, I think that's what it is, and it makes the most sense. And again, it kind of replaces what preseason games used to do for coaches in terms of trying to get regulars ready. Again, it is kind of weird if you think about it. It's like, so why are you any less likely to get hurt in something like this than in the televised preseason game? I don't know, but sure. It's just like if you get hurt in a preseason game, that is the absolute crime as a coach, so that it can't be there. But assuming full pads both days, yeah, there's some periods. Like it's not all that different from like a Titans practice in terms of, okay, the clock says 10 minutes, this is a 10-minute team period. You know, then it's here's a 6-minute special teams and individual period. No, so they'll do that. It's every few minutes they change. But maybe there'll be a little bit more extended time with ones versus ones, hopefully, because obviously that's the most interesting stuff. It's a pretty good look overall through the roughly hour and a half that this is going
to
be.
Well, it's interesting, too, because you're starting to get to the point in camp, and now it's a little bit different now with only having 3 games. And now kind of like that week off in between the last preseason game and the first regular season game. I mean, off is a stretch, but there's no preseason game that you're worried about then. So it's a different setup. But, like, are you reaching the point, if you're Vrabel and really any coach around the league, where the balance of, all right, you're trying to figure out what your team looks like and the roster and all that stuff, but it's also like you look at the calendar. You're not that far away from the Giants game anymore either. Like the regular season is less than a month away at this point. So it's kind of that interesting spot in camp where, yeah, you're trying to figure out what your roster and fill that in and everything's going to look like. But it's also, we're getting close to this thing mattering for real.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, look, like we've had questions, and I get it. We've had questions on the whole last year, because they didn't play people, they stunk. I don't think that's true, but I get it. I mean, you do still need to get those people as ready as possible. What you need is for them to be on the practice field, and that's a big difference this year to last year, is that, like, especially the passing game, those guys are out there every day. So that's
a
big deal.
Your left tackle's out there too, so that helps.
That does too. The text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Hello. Tony in Smyrna says, did y'all talk about the Titans' additions from yesterday? I think two signings, one was a trade. We did, but to quickly recap, keep an eye on the safety situation. Theo Jackson has now been injured, and Amani Hooker has missed some time, was back Sunday, was not there yesterday. The moves that the Titans made, it's one of two things, or maybe both. One, they just don't feel like their depth is good enough, and they need to try to upgrade it. Two, they got injuries that maybe look a little more long-term, and they're worried about that. Again, could be both, but like Amani Hooker is a guy, you do not want to be missing him
long
at all. You don't want to be missing him for a snap in the season if you can help it.
No question about it. Coming up next, it is time for The Choice Is Yours. We'll take your participation on our text line that is now functional. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. All right, I'm in the questions chair today. Would we like to begin with sports or non-sports?
Sports.
Sports, let's go.
All right, let's start with sports. All right, in honor of the feud we've been discussing all week between Kentucky, John Calipari and Mark Stoops. I'm gonna bring the Vanderbilt Tennessee discussion back up, but I'm gonna add a wrinkle to it. You can create a feud between any two coaches at Vanderbilt and or Tennessee all time, and you can cross them up if you want. You can go two Tennessee coaches, you can go two Vanderbilt coaches, any way you want to take it. You can hand select a feud between any two coaches all time, Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Who are the two? And there's two that stand out to me that I'm going with that I don't know that y'all get.
Phillip Fulmer and Johnny Majors.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. They already had one.
Thing.
Okay, what was your question, Michelle?
I was going to say, does it have to be like two Tennessee coaches?
Nope.
Oh, it can cross over.
You can cross them over. You want me to go first?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. I got one, but go ahead.
All right. The one that stands out to me, and it makes me mad because it was about – probably 4 years away from happening. Lane Kiffin, James Franklin.
Oh, good Lord, that's fantastic.
Would have been unbelievable.
That's the winner.
If Lane Kiffin would have stayed at Tennessee and James Franklin was there, the amount of subtweeting is not the right word, but just sniping at each other that would have taken place in post-game press conferences or just press conferences in general would have been amazing. So if I could hand select, I would cross up Vanderbilt and Tennessee – and I would go James Franklin and Lane Kiffin.
That's fantastic. I got a runner-up to that. First of all, the first person who comes to mind is if he will get into one. And Jerry Stackhouse, I don't think he likes Calipari very much based on some stuff he said.
Yeah.
A lot of people say he doesn't like Calipari very much. If Jerry Stackhouse got into a full-on feud with someone, it would be pretty glorious.
It would be.
So give me Jerry Stackhouse and Bruce Pearl.
Which could
happen now, but Vanderbilt Auburn. But like, imagine if it was Vanderbilt Tennessee thing and like years and like good games, good teams.
And by the way, this is open to every sport.
Sweet.
So it doesn't have to be just basketball.
Because
Tony
V has
and it could be on the list.
Potential
somewhere.
Too.
Yeah. Okay, so I had Lane and Bruce in my head too.
That'd have been awesome.
Those two would be good, but. What I've heard from you guys is that Pat Summitt, like, she was intense.
Oh, yeah.
So I would like to see her and Lane Kiffin get at it. And I would be on Lane Pat
lose
Summit's
that battle.
Side.
They were actually colleagues.
They were?
I wonder what Pat thought about him in that.
Probably not a big
wacky
fan.
Wacky year. Yeah, probably not.
Or like Stackhouse and Lane.
There's
so many different.
Like Lane it, could yeah. be great. Well, look, the obvious one that is today that will never get public because I don't think Corbin likes to handle things that way, but Corbin and Vitello could be pretty
spicy.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean,
it could be pretty spicy.
Well, it's pretty sweet. Vitello, who never says Vanderbilt on the MLB broadcast, actually had to say Vanderbilt.
He did.
Oh, no. No, that one could be amazing. And maybe it will be still.
Maybe so. All right, moving on to non-sports. You can launch one household chore into the sun and never have to do it again. Which household chore are you selecting? It can be indoors. It can be outdoors. Take it any way you want to take it. One household chore that you absolutely despise and would launch it into the sun. Which household chore would it be?
I mean, maybe this is obvious, but like cleaning bathrooms?
Okay.
Cleaning toilets?
Sure.
Like if they could just be clean? Sure. I can laundry, dishes, lawn,
but you can
whatever.
Pretty much just spray Clorox in there. Or like literally just pour Clorox in there.
It doesn't take forever.
That's like not even a hard one.
Sometimes you got to scrub.
Joe has
I guess it depends on who's doing what to what. Toilet, but you know. I'm going to go ahead and just let someone else clean the bathroom. Okay. Forever and ever, amen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Michelle, I don't know if she's collected herself quite yet. Are you, do you have an answer?
Yeah, I got it. Okay. So mine, I think, would be a combination between two because they suck so bad so much.
Yep.
Okay. The first one, and if my mom is listening, I'm sorry, but at my home, we live on this huge driveway, like very, very steep, very, very long. And taking the garbage cans down and up is like, especially in the winter in New York, it's like, okay, somebody go get the garbage cans. And I'm like, oh, I like bribe my brothers or sisters or my stepdad. I'm like, please, I swear I will do anything else other than doing that. Or the dishes. Like if you have a roommate or something like that, I think of college when people just had their gross food pile up and oh my gosh, that's absolutely disgusting. But you almost have to do it or it just gets 10 times worse.
You're not allowed to shirk all your responsibilities on this question.
Yeah, all chores kind
of
suck.
Rid of all of it.
Yeah, all of them.
Mine's pulling weeds. I can't stand it.
Oh,
I had to do it the other day.
Yeah.
I enjoy, for the most part, outdoor work. Like I like cutting the grass.
Yeah, someone put mowing the lawn. That's like your favorite.
Yeah, I love cutting grass. I like cutting the grass. I don't mind, you know, trimming hedges and all that stuff. For some reason, like having to bend over and like pull weeds up out of the driveway, which by the way, mine are out of control right now. Hate it.
Yeah.
Well, cannot stand it.
As the lower back gets, it gets worse. Fat Hog says gutters.
That's good. Clean out the gutters? That's good.
Fat Hog.
Let's go. All right, back into sports. You're starting an NFL team from scratch. You've got the first overall pick, and you aren't allowed to choose a quarterback. Who are you taking? Cannot pick a quarterback.
You're talking about all time?
Talking about right now.
Oh, right now.
I'm first. No, don't let Joe go first.
Okay, go
Aaron Donald.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not allowed to pick a quarterback. Who are you taking?
Yeah. I mean,
and keep in mind, it's right now. And it's also the age they are right now.
Yeah, it's right now and
starting
it's the age they are. Yeah, okay. Because I could make a case for like a Ja'Marr Chase.
That's my answer.
Yep.
I'm going Ja'Marr Chase.
Ja'Marr Chase, but I'll actually go with Donald. I'll just go. Yeah.
See, I knew you were going to pick him. That's why I said let me go first.
Nice job.
Good.
Yeah.
T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt's pretty good.
You can go out there.
Because
quarterbacks, like you could.
There's a lot to choose from.
There's a lot of quarterbacks you could choose from.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
If it was all time, I'm going LT, for the record.
LaDainian Thompson, good job.
Well, I wouldn't be sad to get him either.
I just wanted to see your reaction. I'm going Ja'Marr Chase. Is that crazy?
No.
I don't think so at all. I think he might be
in today's
that
league,
guy.
In today's league, where passing the ball is so important.
Yeah.
I'm going Ja'Marr Chase.
Think about a year ago, the conversation surrounding him.
Yeah.
Remember when he was had all the drops season camp?
Can't catch the ball. Can't catch. Yeah.
Now he's on Robbie's all time.
Now, training camp, I mean, usually means a ton.
I think it's going to end up being okay for Ja'Marr Chase. All right. Last question. You can bring a restaurant to the Nashville area that's not currently here. What is it? It can be any genre of food.
Okay, so when
fast
you're,
food.
So whatever. You're asking though, are you asking about chains or you're asking about like the, I know of this one little place in, you know, Paducah, Kentucky.
We should probably go with chains.
Chains. Okay. Ooh, yeah. This is
okay.
A good one.
Okay. Well, then it's very easy and it's In-N-Out Burger. Now listen, In-N-Out Burger is fast food. So it's like when I used to go nuts living in the Midwest about, you know, if I traveled south and I got Chick-fil-A and then some of my friends tried it, like, okay. I'm like, it's fast food. It's not. I'm not saying it's filet at a great steak restaurant, but it's like for fast food, it's amazing. In-N-Out Burger, you go to the secret menu, you go double single, animal style. Anybody who calls that overrated, I want to fight them.
No, that's a great choice. Love me some In-N-Out, but I'm going Portillo's.
That's on my list.
Listen, I'm chopped salad, large fry, cheese sauce, and then maybe a hot dog on the side, add a milkshake. Just go all out. So amazing. And if anybody says their chopped salad, like, you're crazy for getting a salad there, no, it's a thing. Their chopped salad is absolutely incredible. Don't come at me. Try it. Try it. Try it first.
I can't say that I've ever even entertained the idea of getting a salad.
Nor have I.
I swear to God. I have friends from Chicago.
But I didn't realize it. So how widely distributed is Portillo's? I've been to, like, in Chicago.
There's some in Florida.
There's some in Florida, Indiana.
That's right. You tweet about that.
Okay. Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I like that one, then.
My two came down to actually the two. This is how this question came about, because I loved Portillo's so much last week. I've been a few times, but last week was great. Skyline Chili, also in Tampa, Florida last week.
Oh, yeah.
So those are the two that it comes down to me. I waffle back and forth in terms of which one I would select. But since you took Portillo's, I'll go Skyline.
If we had Skyline, it'd be over.
What do you guys get? I'm a Coney. I'm a Coney person.
No, on the noodles, with the cheese, with the onions. Oh, five-way chili hat. Oh.
Joe's my diet right now.
I'm getting fatter as I speak about it.
I'm serious, though. Those are my two. Like, In-N-Out would be probably number three.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Y'all nailed it. Way
to
go.
Dream.
We can.
Someday, Nashville.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Keith on the text line says, who knew a hot dog was a side item? You could get a side hot dog.
No, listen, the main course is a chopped salad. It's got chicken, fries, cheese, and then maybe a hot dog.
Yeah.
Just try it.
It sounds pretty good.
Bud on the text line says, and that was not the text I was looking for. Will on the text line says, Lou Malnati's Pizza. Does that count? Is that technically a chain?
I mean, there might be a couple locations in Chicago, but I've never seen it outside Chicago. I love Lou Malnati. That's probably my favorite Chicago style. So I don't know if that counts. But if it does count, thumbs up.
You want a real hot take? Chicago style pizza sucks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, not a fan. New York pizza all the way.
Sucks is a strong word. I will still eat it.
There's no pizza that sucks.
Yeah, I was about to say. That's a strong word. We probably had this conversation before, but if I'm deciding between the two, it's New York style all day.
Detroit style is pretty good, though, too.
I like New York style the best, but Detroit style I also like better than Chicago style, but I still love Chicago style.
We all love
there
pizza.
You go. There you go.
This has been The Choice Is Yours. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 8:45. Come up next here in a few minutes at 9:05. We'll be joined by John McClain to talk all things NFL. Looking forward to that. That's coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.